Hello. The reading for today is Isaiah chapter 46. Bel bows down, Nebo stoops low. Their idols are borne by beasts of burden. The images that are carried about are burdensome, a burden for the weary. They stoop and bow down together, unable to rescue the burden. They themselves go off into captivity. Listen to me, you descendants of Jacob, all the remnants of the people of Israel, you whom I have upheld since your birth and have carried since you were born, even to your old age and grey hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. With whom will you compare me or count me equal? To whom will you liken me, that we may be compared? Some pour out gold from their bags and weigh out silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith to make it into a god, and they bow down and worship it. They lift it to their shoulders and carry it. They set it up in its place, and there it stands. From that spot it cannot move. Even though someone cries out to it, it cannot answer. It cannot save them from their troubles. Remember this. Keep it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand. And I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey from a far-off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, you who are now far from my righteousness. I am bringing my righteousness near. It is not far away, and my salvation will not be delayed. I will grant salvation to Zion and my splendor to Israel. In this whole section of the book of Isaiah, from chapter 40 onwards, God speaks through the prophet this stunning message of hope to his people who are in exile in Babylon. This message that says, "See your God, see how awesome he is, and he is coming to save you." Babylon is at the head of this big, strong empire that has ruthlessly conquered and uprooted so many nations and has its own gods, gods with names like Bel and Nebo. And here, the prophet openly mocks these apparently massively powerful gods as worthless, tottering idols in comparison with Israel's all-powerful God, who cares for his people and is about to act decisively. There is no comparison, says the Lord to his own people. Pay no attention to these foreign gods. Reject them because they are doomed. The living God is about to act. So in chapter 43 of Isaiah, we get this well-known passage. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. A wonderful message, and undoubtedly a message for our times. We mustn't get stuck in the past, because God is definitely doing something new in our time. And yet, here, just a few short chapters later, we get what seems at first to be a completely opposite message. This text here is in stark contrast. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. So, in one way, we need to put aside the past, so that we can be attentive to the new thing God is doing. And yet, on the other hand, it is essential that we remember the past as well. And in Isaiah 46, the reason given why we need to remember is so that we can be attentive to this all-powerful God and observe how reliable and faithful he has been through history, and so that we can not be distracted by idols, that is, by anything else that we might tend to give our attention and our lives to that is not the true God. God is ultimately the only real one who acts in history, and his purpose will stand. All earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. Jesus will build his church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. These are statements of God's absolute intention. And no matter how badly wrong we get things, no matter how distracted or rebellious we are, and God addresses his people here in Isaiah as "you rebels," no matter any of that, God's purpose will prevail. God is faithful, utterly committed to helping his people, because God remembers his purposes and the promises that he's made. When we look through scripture for where we see the word remember, it is first of all God who remembers. So in Genesis, God remembered Noah. God remembered his covenant with all mankind. And here in Exodus, God heard the groaning of the Israelites in slavery and remembered his covenant with Abraham. So firstly, we see in scripture that remembering is something that God does. And then secondly, we see that remembering is something that God calls his people, who he has made his covenant with, to do. And our text here in Isaiah is a prime example of that. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. We have a natural tendency to forget, don't we? I know I do. And God calls us to remember. And this is certainly not the first time in the Bible that he does that. Five times, in fact, in the book of Deuteronomy, God says to his people, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt." So here in Deuteronomy 5:15, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord brought you out of there." Five times they're told to remember this crucial fact about their story. And of course, Paul echoes exactly the same thought when he says in Galatians 5 verse 1, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." It is crucial that we remember and hold on to this central story, and remember and think and dwell on this big story that we are part of how Jesus has set us free. The Bible is mostly made up of poetry and stories to help us remember, but especially stories. And stories allow us to enter in with all our imagination and search our hearts and search for where we are now in God's purposes. When we lose our place in the story, we can get hopelessly lost. At a time like this especially, we need to remember God and to be attentive to him. Would you like to join me now for a moment of heartfelt prayer? God, what is going on in the world right now? God, what are you doing? This is a massively strange time that we're living through right now. Where are we in the story? I don't know. But I think we need, especially at a time like this, to remember God, to give our attention and try to make sure that we've put our hope in him rather than in anything else. Growing up where we live over the past few decades, there are all kinds of things that we may have been shaped to put our hope in besides God. We probably developed a tendency to put our hope in the economy, in our political leaders, or in other nations, or in democracy as being the things that will bring us security. Don't get me wrong, none of these things in themselves are at all bad, but none of them can be our God. God will work through all of these things for our good, but it is God himself we need to serve and trust in. And over the past few years, there have been a whole series of massive events in the world, haven't there? That have shown us very clearly, I think, that we cannot put our trust in any of these things: the economy, other nations, political leaders, democracy. None of these in themselves will save us. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9 says, "Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me." Being asked to preach for Remembrance Sunday is a very tricky one, and it does make me a bit uncomfortable, because what is it that we're supposed to remember at Remembrance Sunday? Is there a risk that it all becomes about putting our trust in the military as being the thing that's going to save us? Are we somehow telling a story that soldiers dying in war is what makes us free, no matter how stupid the war that they were asked to take part in was? That is a risk, but it is still very important that we do remember. It is important to remember, as many do, all of our loved ones who have died. Remember what they have meant to us, and the ways that they've shaped who we are. And it is good to remember times of crisis in the past, especially like the Second World War. Because the Nazi regime in Germany, they unleashed this hateful and dehumanizing message of evil on the world, and sent its young men to fight and give their lives in the name of this utterly idolatrous and arrogant idea of world domination. It's terrible. We do well to remember that time and to be deeply grateful to all who stood up and resisted that evil. Those who gave their lives doing so, and the peacemakers, the blessed peacemakers who dedicated their lives to enable us to have the freedom that we now have. And we do well to remember the faithfulness of God and how he has acted through history. We do tend to forget. We tend to find ourselves disorientated and in the wrong story. By remembering, we can reorient ourselves to God's big story, which we can become a part of. By remembering, we can begin to see clearly how reliable and faithful our God is. By remembering, we can start to become the more thankful people that we need to be. By remembering, we can slowly come to understand what story it is we are living in, and just how it is that Jesus, dying on the cross in the way that he did, just how that brings us freedom. Jesus brought hope into a world that was every bit as dark as ours is today. He hoped there could be an easier way, but he accepted the very worst that history could throw at him, and he came out on the other side. So let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let's remember God and put our hope above all in him. Amen.